It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Phillies have tightened it up. It's a one-run Chicago lead. Caught by Dunston, a diving grab by the shortstop. Fletcher is out. His bid for a hit just inches off mark. Line drive caught by Dunston. What a tremendous play. He's done that twice tonight, and this was even better than the first. Gee whiz.
Might have been a game saver there.
Truly speaking, a game saver. All in a day's work, right, Sean?
That'll take you back. Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to score. We go out to the guest hotline, sponsored by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook, where we find our next guest, the first pick of the 1982 Major League Draft, a Cubs shortstop for over a decade. Only two other shortstops have played more for the Cubs at that position than Sean Dunston, the inspiration for the Sean-o-meter. Good morning, Sean. Welcome inside the clubhouse. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
Welcome back to town. Welcome back to Wrigley Field. You're going into the Cubs Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Let's just start there. As you reflect back on your career in Chicago as a major leaguer, what does this honor mean to you?
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, when you come up as a big leaguer, you just want to play in the big leagues and play for a long time and provide for your family and try to help your team win a championship. But you never think about a Hall of Famer, and now I'm a Cub Hall of Famer. It still don't sound too right with me, but it's sounding pretty good lately.
Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking some time out. Congratulations to you and your family. I know the emotion of a Sean Dunston, having watched you from the very first day as a Cub all the way through your career. It's just, I can imagine correct me if I'm right or wrong, you cried when you heard that you were in the going into the Cub Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I did, Bruce. And how you doing, Bruce? Yes, you had me when I first started, so you know all about me. Yeah, it's kind of, man, it's touching because, you know, the Hall of Fame is for Ernie Banks, it's Ron Sano, it's Billy Williams, it's Andre Rhino, Rick Sutcliffe, Lee Smith, Don Kessinger. And these are the heroes of the Cubs. And I just want to be a player for the Cubs. That's what I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a Cub Hall of Famer. But I really like it. I'm very humble and very grateful.
Talk to me about the symmetry of going in with Mark Grace, who on a daily basis, you would almost break his hand every single day with your 100-mile-an-hour throws from shortstop. And just coming up together, you know, you were a little bit ahead of him, but you grew and won together. Talk a little bit about you and Gracie going in together.
Oh, it was everything. When I heard Grace was going in, it made me feel good. I'm glad he's in. I want people to understand that he's one of the first basemen to ever play this game. Like, people don't know it, but I think some people know it. He had the most hits in the 90s. And back in the 90s, there were some very good players. A guy named Tony Gwynn, you know, bless his soul, Wayne Boggs. There were some great players. And Grace had more hits than everybody in the big leagues. So I think, man, I'm so happy with that. And Grace was my security blanket when I played out there. I could go up the middle in the hole, and I would throw it. And I know Grace would get it for me. And, man, I just felt so secure with Mark out there. When Mark wasn't at first, I was a little nervous.
Talking with Sean Dunston, two-time All-Star, going into the Cub Hall of Fame this weekend. Everybody remembers the Sean-o-meter. Everybody remembers that infield. Sean, when you look back at those days, how long did it take before you felt that kind of confidence? And you mentioned the security in that infield and Gracie providing a security blanket. But how long before you really felt like, okay, this is I'm past the anxiety. I belong here, and I can do the job on a regular basis at a high level?
Well, that's a nice question. Yeah, it took me like a year and a half, and I got that from Rhino. You know, Rhino really don't talk much. I mean, he just may lead by example and go out there and play. And then, you know, one day he just told me, you're ready. You know, Rhino told me I'm ready. That really boosted up my confidence, and it made the game much easier for me. And it was nice playing with Rhino. Because we was the opposite. I was like, wow, a lot of energy. He was calm. And he always told me, Sean, you just try to catch every ball you can. I will not run into you or nothing. So I had two guys who let me just go out there and play. So, man, it was just very nice playing. But it took a year and a half. But when Rhino gave me, man, what I wanted to hear and say, Sean, you're ready, that really made me feel confident.
So people don't know this story, Sean, and I hope you share it with us a little bit here. Sean Dunston could have been the next Willie Mays. In 1992, Larry Himes took over the Chicago Cubs. And because Sean was so great at going back for fly balls on pop-ups, Larry decided from his scouting background that Sean would be a great center fielder, and he broached the subject. Sean, take that story from there, and then relate to me what you said about that years later, please.
Well, I mean, all I wanted to do was play shortstop, but I had back surgery. And I had back surgery, and I missed like 2 years. And they told me that I can't play short no more. So when people tell me that I can't do something, I'm going to prove them wrong. And I really didn't like it. They didn't give me the chance. But center field is nice now because years later, I went to center field. And I didn't know that center field was that nice. And they kept telling me that center field is just a deeper shortstop without ground balls. And it was me, I always wanted to catch every fly ball. And I had a good arm, so they said it would have been a perfect position. But once you play infield, you don't want to leave. I think infield is more important than center field. But man, to me, shortstop, because when I'm 0-for-5 and I'm playing shortstop, I can't let my team down. So I have to catch every ball, and I don't have time to worry about my batting average or nothing like that. So that's why I always liked the infield. I really didn't like outfield. But as I got older, the outfield wasn't too bad. It was very nice.
Sean, what are you up to these days, and how are you enjoying this Cubs season, which in Chicago has come as maybe a bit of a surprise? The Cubs have stayed relevant, and they have been the best team in baseball since July 25th, and it's been something that everyone can enjoy, and you can relate to what that feeling is like at Clark and Addison.
Oh, well, basically what I do now, I'm just home, man, with my wife. We have an empty nest, and I'm older. It's funny. I'll tell everybody, you know when you're old, when you hang out with your wife every day. I hang out with my wife every day. I bug my wife every day, and I walk my dog, Kobe. He's a beautiful German Shepherd. And I basically do nothing, just enjoy life and bug my kids every day and call them and just, man, I'm just enjoying life. And with the Cubs, I'm so happy for them that the Cubs are winning. It's nice. I mean, people really don't know how nice it is when you win in Chicago. Everybody's behind you. And I tell everybody, we didn't win much except for 89 and 95. And when we was in third place and fourth place and fifth place, it didn't matter to us because the fans came out and rooted us on. And we thought we was in first place every day because it was a sellout crowd. They rooting for us. And then after the game, we won the game. But man, don't they know we're 20 games out? But the Cub fans didn't care. They always rooted us on. And I was so proud to be a Cub. And hopefully this Cub team can get out this little two-game losing streak and come back and win some games.
Sean, in closing, and David and I appreciate this and look forward to going into the Hall of Fame with Gracie tomorrow. David and I are both on the committee, and we're thrilled that you got in. Talk a little bit about the modern player. You coached up until recently. Your son, Junior, played professionally for a long time. Tell us what you think the difference is in the makeup of players now compared to when you started out, or if there is one in your mind.
Well, the difference is, like when we played, the game was played a little tougher. They knock you down, they drill you, they hit you. And it was more about respecting the game. And they respect the game now. It's just different. Every generation is different. I like my generation. I mean, it's not like I don't like this generation. If I was in this generation, I would like it. Yes, my son, man, played a long time. He's still playing in Atlantic. He's doing well. He loves the game. And he actually said, Daddy, would you, man, wave to the crowd or your team after you hit a home run in the first inning? I said, no, I won't do that, but the game has changed because a guy named Nolan Ryan will let you know that the game is not over yet. You got three more at bat. So he will let you know that you will not be doing that. But I really like the game now. Like back when I played, we had the players was much older. And I noticed when I'm older now that players are stuck in their ways and older people are stuck in their ways, and we don't like change. I don't like change either, but after a while, change is good and necessary, and it took me a little time to adjust. So how the game is going right now, I think it's really nice. These players are good. I don't envy them. I don't envy the money they make because it's much harder because everybody in the world knows that you make $200-300 million, and everyone knows your family. You're on Twitter. It's hard. So these guys are really holding up and representing the game very nicely.
Sean, I'm really curious because earlier this week, a guy who is as easy to like as anybody on the Cubs, Christopher Morel, infectious enthusiasm, plays a lot of energy. He hits a 430-foot home run, and his bat flip was even more spectacular and impressive. And he does that, and I wonder, as somebody of your generation watches this happen, and it goes on a regular basis, that's just one example, do you smile or do you cringe?
Oh, I cringe. I cringe right now when you said that. I remember that. I seen the home run. It was a bomb. I'm like, ooh, how can you do that? But the game is better for it now. This is what they want, so give them what they want. I have no problem with it. But if I was playing, I couldn't do that. No. In the ninth inning, a game winner, now I wouldn't have flipped it like that, but I'd have been very happy. But, I mean, this side of the game is like the guy Acuna is great. I mean, these guys, they got some very good players in the big leagues. Trust me, the players are very good, and they represent the league very nicely.
Sean, I'll take you back to 1989 for a brief couple minutes before we let you go, and thank you again for joining us today. Can you imagine a player or players having more fun than that 1989 Chicago Cub team? And by that, of course, it ended not the way you wanted it in San Francisco, but that season where you had a team that had the lowest payroll in baseball at $11 million. Okay, I'm going to repeat. The entire team was paid $11 million, okay? There were no expectations after a very mediocre 1988 season. Talk about the boys of Zimmer and that 89 season and how much fun that was.
Well, that's the best team I played for. It was just so nice. And back then, $11 million was a lot of money. We wasn't thinking about that. We just wanted to make $700,000. But $11 million was a lot of money. But that team was the best. We had some very good players. We had the two leaders was Andre and Rhino. No, three, Andre, Rhino, and Sutcliffe. And then we had this future Hall of Famer, Greg Maddux. We didn't know Maddux was going to be a Hall of Famer. We know he's a good player. A good pitcher, just a teammate. But he turns into to be one of the greatest pitchers that ever played the game. And then we had, man, key players. We had Mark Grace, and then we had my buddy, Jerome Walter, and Dwight Smith came up. And they really led us. And, you know, man, Dwight's not here. That's my man, one of my good friends. But he led the team. And we had Joe Girardi, we had Dan Berry, we had Mike Balecki, we go on and on. We had Mitch Williams. And Andre and Rhino just led us. And then I played my part by being the shortstop and trying to be a good teammate, the best teammate that I could have. Then we had a manager who would let us be ourselves. That is so important when you play in sports. As your manager, coach, you need to let players be themselves. Don't try to be something that you're not. And that's why we were so good. And then when we won, it was so beautiful because it was really wasn't for us, it was for our families and for the Cub fans. And I'll never forget that team and all my coaches. And the hard part about growing up is, like, all your coaches are not here. And it's hard. And I remember all the things they used to tell us, enjoy this, it doesn't last long. But while you're playing 162 games, it feels like the season will never end, especially when you're losing. But when you're winning, the season go by quick. And, yes, I still remember in 1989, and I'm so humble and grateful and so proud to be a Chicago Cub.
That was such a likable team, such a great group of guys. I got to ask you before we let you go, of all the memorabilia that you kept throughout your great career with the Cubs and just as a Major League Baseball player, Sean, do you have a Sean-o-meter? Do you have anything that reflects the Sean-o-meter that was such a big deal in 1989?
Well, I have my Sean-o-meter T-shirt. I always will have that. I wear it at home sometimes. The kids laugh at me. It's really tight on me right now. It's nice. But I really don't have enough. But I have a 1989 team picture. It's really nice with a playoff ticket on there. That's in my house. I really like that. The 1989 team. And then I have other memorabilia. I have my son's hits and stuff like that, and my mom's, and they have mine. And then I have a couple of World Series rings from another team, which I'm very proud of, and I really appreciate the man, San Francisco Giants. But, man, I'm going to tell you a funny story. When I was coaching with the Giants in 2016, and the Giants was playing the Cubs. So when we meet the Cubs in the playoffs, all the players was teasing me. They go, okay, now, Sean, you know we're playing the Cubs. You got anything on them? And by the way, who are you rooting for? I go, really, you're going to ask me that question? But they all knew how much I loved the Cubs. I really didn't say too much. I said, man, best team win.
Great answer. And it's been great talking to you. I hope you have a terrific weekend being honored and going into the Cub Hall of Fame. A lot of Cub fans smiling, hearing your voice, getting a lot of great feedback. And thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sean.
Okay, thank you, and y'all enjoy yourselves today.
Sean Dunston, former Cubs shortstop, two-time All-Star, one of the just great personalities from that era, Bruce, one of the easiest players from those teams
I'm going to give you a story about Sean. One spring training, he came in about a half hour late. I think it was in 88 when Don Zimmer took over team. He didn't miss anything, but he was a half hour late, and Zimmer brought him into the office, and he said to him, Sean, you're late. He goes, yeah. He said, I overslept a little bit, and, you know, I'm sorry. Zimmer, won't happen again. He said, so let me give you a little piece of advice that my manager, Charlie Dressen, gave me when I played with the Dodgers back in the early 50s. And he said, okay, Zim, what's that? He says, if you're early, you're never late. He said, make that your mantra for your career and make it for your life too, because if you show up to everything early, you're never going to miss anything. And Sean related that story to me. I'm sorry I didn't bring it up while he was on, but it shows you the beauty of baseball conversations and the things that people share with each other in the game.
consummate pro, no doubt about it. And the guy who was the number one overall pick in the draft. All that pressure, all those expectations, and they were heavy at the time. And you remember him coming up back in the day. People, Cub fans of a certain age will remember Larry Boa was here, right? He was the shortstop in place for the Cubs. And then Sean Dunston was the heir apparent, and all of those things that he faced and he overcame and had such a successful career. It's great to hear Sean Dunston. It's just, it's impossible not to like that guy.
Yeah, and it's impossible to think that he's an older guy now, because to me, Sean Dunston will be eternally young forever, okay? That's how I look at Sean. He played the game with such energy, so much, such a big smile. To me, he's the eternal Cub.
That was a joyful interview. It certainly was. You could hear it in his voice. And Bruce, we're going to keep having fun. Next, playing our favorite game. Time for some chin music here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
7 to score.
High and inside. Chin music. A little chin music. Take that hit for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Yon, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
How do you kind of navigate? I know we were talking about position players, but like obviously wanting to use your high leverage arms in close games, big games, but also wanting to like give them rest and let them kind of figure it out this time of year?
Yeah, I think it's just important when guys are dealing with stuff to, you know, I can't always let you guys know, and sometimes I got to lie. That's okay. But yeah, it's just like everybody's dealing with something this time of year, and you give guys days off, or you know, you kind of can try to rest them and stay away from them. And yeah, when guys are dealing with stuff, you just got to give them a little bit of rest. You know, sometimes 4 days better than 15. You know, so it's that time of year. We try to navigate as best we can. We try to fill holes. It's my job to navigate that and take the heat if I need to, and I make the dumbest moves in the world. And why didn't I throw this guy or that guy? It's like sometimes just stuff in the seat that you don't want everybody to know. And so, yeah, the protecting the players is everything.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7, the score, David Hall, Bruce Levine. Playing a little chin music here. That was David Ross earlier this week talking about the realities that everybody understands, I think, Bruce. But in the context of Friday, removing Jameson Taillon after 77 pitches when he had given up only a hit, I wonder if there's a connection there. What did you think when you're sitting there listening to David Ross saying, yeah, managers lie, that's part of the job, and people should accept that?
Well, I was wondering if he felt okay, if he had hurt something in the last pitch or two. You know, we do what reporters do after the game. We ask questions, just like John Dietz did, as to why he took him out. Very fair question, follow-up. Ross wasn't happy with all the things asked about that. In the case of Taillon, I just wanted to hear from Taillon that everything was fine. He said he was fine, you know, during his interview after the game. He said he was prepared to go on further. He also said he respects what David and the coaches decide, and he's good with coming out when they bring him out. He didn't do the I don't know why they took me out thing. He said, we trust our bullpen. I trust my manager. We move on. So was it political? I don't think so. I think Taillon believe that Ross is doing the best for the team. As to whether
let's move away from the tire. Yeah. Let's move away from that example for a moment, because I do think that managers aren't the only ones who might have inclinations or information that they know that lead them down a path to form an opinion or create some insight. I feel like you were that guy last week, Bruce. I feel like last Saturday morning, you maybe knew something about Adbert Alzolay that allowed you to say he needs some rest. And you knew this was coming because you were on a week ago today and you basically gave people the idea, and it was a right one. It was insight, and that's what you provide so well. But Alzolay didn't pitch for a week. Was he injured? Was he tired? What did you know?
I knew what I saw. Okay. And what I saw, David, at that time, I had no direct inside information. I called somebody after our show and to find out if there was an injury and see if there was anything to follow up on. What I saw was a pitcher who's been dominant with a 97, 98 mile an hour fastball and a slider that most of the time is unhittable, have none of that in his outing that night. Just went out there with nothing. A guy that had appeared in four out of six games and basically was worn out. Was he injured? Well, as the conversation went during the week, he was in need of time off. Does that mean he was hurting? Yes, he was hurting. Was he injured? Did he have an injury that was going to keep him out and go on the IL? No, he did not. Was there probably inflammation in his shoulder or his elbow? Yes. Is that common this time of year for pitchers that have 55 to 60 appearances? Yes. So, honestly, David, at that point, when I saw that he had absolutely nothing and got rocked by the Reds that night and lost in that walk-off game, that first walk-off game Friday, mm-hmm. and then the second one Saturday, he just had nothing. And you know there's something wrong if a young guy like that who's dominated all summer doesn't throw the ball properly.
Well, that was a great insight based on your experience, because you were right. He needed the time off, and the Cubs would probably benefit from giving him those days to rest and recover. I also wonder this, Bruce, when you have a manager who I respect David Ross for being that open about the fact that sometimes he does have to lie or mislead, and everybody kind of knows how the game is played. Let's go back to August, early August. Sometimes you have to just bench a guy because he's bad, and that doesn't have anything to do with maybe him being injured. Maybe he's mentally tired. Maybe he's physically fatigued. But Seiya Suzuki deserved to be benched. I don't think that example is one where he's lying about him not having, you know, maybe playing through an injury. I don't know this to be true, but it seemed like that was more related to performance rather than health. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to tell the difference.
You know what? You also have to be not only a great handler of people, David, to answer your question, you have to be a master psychologist, okay? You have to be able to go inside that guy's brain and see what is going to get the most out of him at that particular time. And when David Ross benched Seiya Suzuki, it wasn't a punishment. It was, hey, dude, you're not playing up to the level that we expect from you. A couple days off to think about this and work on your mental and physical game is what we're suggesting here. And it worked perfectly for Suzuki, who has admitted since then in interviews through a translator that it was a wake-up call, that he has a new joy for the game, and it just challenged him to be the better player, or the player that he expects to be, and the player that Ross and the Cubs expected him to be. So kudos to Ross for handling those situations. Kudos to Suzuki for standing up and saying, you know what, I needed this. I needed a kick in the butt to get me going.
Zach Zabin had a terrific pregame interview on the Cubs pregame show on Friday with Seiya Suzuki through an interpreter, and it reflected just what you described, just how much he acknowledged all of what happened and why. And you see him, and there's been not a, you know, maybe except for Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki has been as hot as any hitter in that lineup in the last 30 days or so, Bruce. And I also would like to add this. David Ross acknowledging what he did earlier in the week. Some people may cringe, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's saying he's lying to the media. How dare he? But that happens, and I'd rather him be as open about that than say, in contrast, we're not talking football, we're not talking hockey, but those guys lie and they pretend like they're not lying about injuries. Matt Eberflus hasn't said anything honest about his injury situation, I think, all preseason long, and there have been real questions. So kudos to David Ross for just being transparent as he can be, and everybody gets, and I think in that clubhouse, Bruce respects the fact that there will be days where he covers for guys, and that's going to be okay.
You know what, the best thing, and look, David, you've been a reporter for many years, a great columnist, now a great talk show host. You know, the most information you get is not in a scrum with 15 different reporters, okay? You go up to a manager, you go up to a coach, you go up to a player, and you ask them a hard question about what's going on. You don't have to squeal them out, let everybody know what they said. But if you're a good reporter, and we have a lot of them in Chicago covering all the sports, you have that information so you can inform the public, you can inform the people on the air, on TV, on radio, in print, on the internet, what your knowledge is, and speak with authority if you have the information without telling you without using somebody on the record.
Just to close the loop on this conversation before we hit a break, Bruce, I do think also hearing David Ross say that and then hearing it again in this segment, it did make me wonder, what in the heck happened to Marcus Stroman? What really happened to Marcus Stroman to make him suffer an injury, whether he was taken infield or whatever the case? A fractured rib cartilage is just not something that happens in the course of most major league season. It is the prototypical cubby occurrence. And I don't know if we know the entire story. That nags at me a little bit because of a career as a reporter because of having heard explanations that just don't add up sometimes. Right. And also accepting that managers, coaches, executives do lie as a rule to protect players. And I'd wonder about the Stroman injury.
Yeah, you know, the one thing you learn in sports, covering it and seeing coaches and managers second guess people about injuries is that's a real difficult area to go down. You don't want to go down that too often because it's not a smart place to go. With Stroman, the thing that has caused a lot of speculation is that he was really bad for three starts before he went on the list and on the IL. And when he went on the IL, he didn't get that shot in his hip right away. There was no clear explanation why he was on the IL until almost 5 or 6 days later before he got a shot in the hip. Then he declared that, you know, he wasn't able to be himself. He wasn't good out there. But the point is, did his ineffectiveness cause people to speculate whether he was really hurt or not from the very beginning? And then did it just even cloud it even more by this injury that occurred that we still don't know how it occurred?
And that makes it all the more difficult to kind of project and predict when he's going to come back, what shape he's going to be when he returns, and how to use him if and when he does get to the point where, hey, I'm ready to go. Marcus Stroman says he's ready. How are you going to use him? He's a starter. Going to bring him out of the bullpen? These questions are curious.
David, look, every week after the show you tell me, hey, great job, and I know you're lying to me. So so I don't appreciate that either. But you do it because you're a great teammate, and you tell me that
I just don't want you to yell at me, Bruce. I'm just trying to get you to stop yelling at me.
Most people realize, you know, that you just
great job, Bruce. Stop yelling.
Yeah, you bail me out.
Terrific insight. Stop yelling.
Thanks for bailing me out, David.
Don't be such a bad mood, Bruce. Great job. Morning, okay. Bruce. All right.
I don't recognize ourselves. You. You're being honest.
Yeah. I'm being Vegas Haw. I just turned into that. He's my alter ego. All right, we're going to come back, Bruce. I want to talk about today's game at Wrigley Field, how big it is for the Cubs. Justin Steele, it's win day, and the ace is on the mound, and it's going to be a great matchup because Merrill Kelly is a pitcher for the Diamondbacks, and that's a good matchup as well. So let's talk about what's ahead for the Cubs right here today on The Score at Wrigley Field. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Yeah, that's scary because you don't know these guys.
Right.
And they probably feel the same way about the Cubs. They're like, what are we getting? You know, it's one of those things. I really think Milwaukee's a team, you know, Cubs know real well. The other wild card teams, Miami's a team that can be, you know, hot and cold, and you don't know what you're going to get out of Miami. And when they get on a roll, they can really get on a roll. And they've got some thump in their lineup. Cincinnati looked like they were a little banged up when we were leaving there. They were struggling a little bit. So I think you just got to see. The health is going to matter for everybody right now. The teams that scare me the most, though, are the teams that slash the ball around the field and run real well.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ron Coomer joined us on the Mullen Haw Show Friday morning, as he does every week at 8 o'clock. I asked him about the rest of the teams kind of chasing the Cubs, Bruce, and they're in the thick of things. The Diamondbacks and the Cubs playing today again at Wrigley Field, and they're both playoff teams if the season ended today, as they like to say. The Diamondbacks 2 games behind the Cubs, being chased by the Marlins, the Reds, and the Giants. All teams the Cubs have seen recently. The Cubs also trail the Brewers by 3 games now. Brewers are out in New York, beat the Yankees last night. Good win on the road for the Brew Crew and Craig Counsell. What do you make of all this wild card stuff and the consternation and the collection of teams chasing the Cubs? And it's fun to consider, Bruce, but how do you make heads or tails about who do you really fear?
Well, David, I'll start this by saying this time of year, I always tell people, look at the loss column, because the half games don't mean anything anymore. So in reality, the Cubs trail the Brewers by 4 games. The Brewers have 62 losses and the Cubs have 66. So that is a lot of games to make up, even though the Cubs have three at the very end with Milwaukee in Milwaukee to end the season. I don't fear any of these teams. The only thing I worry about for the Cubs is if they can keep playing the brand of baseball they've been playing now, okay? If they can hold serve and win two out of three in these series, go on the road and play 500 baseball, come back and win the home series against Pittsburgh and against Colorado, their last home series of the season, after they go to Colorado and Arizona on this road trip, you have to win a four out of six games, probably five out of six games, to hold your spot in the playoff hunt. Because Arizona is a very good team. Arizona has power. They have speed. They have good defense. Miami has outstanding pitching, sporadic offense, better defense than they've had in the past, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are the teams I worry about right now. I don't worry about Cincinnati right now. Maybe I should, but I don't.
I understand why you wouldn't.
They have 70 losses. Yeah.
They don't have the starting pitching that scares you.
San Francisco against left-handed pitchers can't hit, you know, at all. They're going to struggle to have any consistency. They didn't look like a good team here. So it's Miami and Arizona. You know, you're going to have to finish ahead of at least one of those teams. That's how I look at it. The Cubs have four games in hand against Cincinnati and San Francisco because they have 66 losses. Cincinnati and the Giants have 70. That's a lot with 20 games left in the season. Okay.
We know not to count on anything. You know you can't take anything for granted. We are in Chicago and have learned that lesson the hard way. But I want to ask you this and flip the question a little bit, a variation of it, the same kind of idea. Forget about who the Cubs might fear chasing them. I think when you look at some of the metrics, the Cubs have a good reason to feel confident about their postseason chances, getting to October, which to me would represent a great season, Bruce. Great season. But are the teams, how much do the teams in front of the Cubs fearing them if they get hot, if they go in and they get back on a roll here that maybe has been interrupted by this little two-game skid? But the Cubs have been as good statistically as any team in the National League since the All-Star break, and you wonder, the Dodgers, the Braves, the teams that you assume are going to be dangerous and go deep in October, do they have fear of the Cubs?
I think they do in a way, because what you identified, David, is Atlanta's been a great team all year, the best team in baseball. The Dodgers have been the best team in baseball since the All-Star break. Most people think they're clearly the best teams in baseball. Baltimore is an outstanding team. So is Tampa. But when it comes to looking at the Cubs, what you do fear, and we learned this with Philadelphia winning the pennant last year, being the sixth seed with a hardly over 500 record, is it's the hot team, not the best team. Okay, not the best team all year, but the hot team going into the playoffs. The Cubs have been that since the All-Star game. They've been one of the best teams in baseball. They continue to be that way. Now, what to keep your eye on? If that bullpen is straightened out and Alzolay is back to health and Leiter gets enough off days now with the possibility of Fulmer coming back and Boxberger being activated, those innings in the bullpen get spread out so nobody is overtaxed. This is a scary team. The Chicago Cubs are a scary team to play right now. They can be that hot team going into the playoffs. Miami can be that hot team going into the playoffs. Arizona can be. So people like Atlanta, like Los Angeles, the Milwaukee Brewers, they're watching these teams. And, yes, they have a great respect for these teams because they know the hot team can win.
The good news is the Cubs on their schedule still have six games against the Rockies, and you like that. Three games against the Pirates, you don't mind that. The bad news, got to go into Arizona, you got to go into Milwaukee, and you got to go into Atlanta. and those are tough places to win in September. So this is fun, though, Bruce. This has been terrific this today to talk about what is at stake and to be in the midst of a pennant race. Relevance has returned to the North Side, and this has been tons of fun.
I hope you have someone else to argue with next Saturday that's equal to the curmudgeon that I am. But I'll be off for the Jewish holiday. I'll be rooting you on from a distance. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website, 670thescore.com. We have people to thank, David.
Yes, we do. And I'm just going to talk to myself for 2 hours next Saturday morning and make a lot more sense. We're going to thank our guests today. We had great guests, Julian Merriweather, the Cubs relief pitcher, Sean Dunstan, the Sean-O-Meter, and Sean Sears, our producer. This has been a lot of fun, Bruce. Thank you for setting all of it up and doing such a great job.
David, always a pleasure. Enjoy Gabe Ramirez next until the pregame with our good friend Zach Zaidman at 12:45. Have a great
pregame
week.
Right here on the Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. Thank you for listening. Talk to you Monday, Bears Monday, here on the Score, beginning 5:30 with Mullion Haw. Before that, the Swirsk overnight till 5. Have a great weekend, everybody.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
6-7 to score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Yeah, that's scary because you don't know these guys.
Right.
And they probably feel the same way about the Cubs. They're like, what are we getting? You know, it's one of those things. I really think Milwaukee's a team, you know, Cubs know real well. The other wild card teams, Miami's a team that can be, you know, hot and cold, and you don't know what you're going to get out of Miami. And when they get on a roll, they can really get on a roll. And they've got some thump in their lineup. Cincinnati looked like they were a little banged up when we were leaving there. They were struggling a little bit. So I think you just got to see. The health is going to matter for everybody right now. The teams that scare me the most, though, are the teams that slash the ball around the field and run real well.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score. Ron Coomer joined us on the Mullen Haas Show Friday morning, as he does every week at 8 o'clock. I asked him about the rest of the teams kind of chasing the Cubs, Bruce, and they're in the thick of things. The Diamondbacks and the Cubs playing today again at Wrigley Field, and they're both playoff teams if the season ended today, as they like to say. The Diamondbacks two games behind the Cubs, being chased by the Marlins, the Reds, and the Giants. All teams the Cubs have seen recently. The Cubs also trail the Brewers by three games now. Brewers are out in New York, beat the Yankees last night. Good win on the road for the Brew Crew and Craig Counsell. What do you make of all this wild card stuff and the consternation and the collection of teams chasing the Cubs? And it's fun to consider, Bruce, but how do you make heads or tails about who do you really fear?
Well, David, I'll start this by saying this time of year, I always tell people, look at the loss column, because the half games don't mean anything anymore. So in reality, the Cubs trail the Brewers by four games. The Brewers have 62 losses and the Cubs have 66. So that is a lot of games to make up, even though the Cubs have three at the very end with Milwaukee in Milwaukee to end the season. I don't fear any of these teams. The only thing I worry about for the Cubs is if they can keep playing the brand of baseball they've been playing now, okay? If they can hold serve and win two out of three in these series, go on the road and play 500 baseball, come back and win the home series against Pittsburgh and against Colorado, their last home series of the season, after they go to Colorado and Arizona on this road trip, you have to win four out of six games, probably five out of six games, to hold your spot in the playoff hunt. Because Arizona is a very good team. Arizona has power. They have speed. They have good defense. Miami has outstanding pitching, sporadic offense, better defense than they've had in the past, okay? Those are the teams I worry about right now. I don't worry about Cincinnati right now. Maybe I should, but I don't.
I understand
they have
why you
70
wouldn't.
Losses. Yeah.
They don't have the starting pitching that scares you.
San Francisco against left-handed pitchers can't hit, you know, at all. They're going to struggle to have any consistency. They didn't look like a good team here. So it's Miami and Arizona. You know, you're going to have to finish ahead of at least one of those teams. That's how I look at it. The Cubs have four games in hand against Cincinnati and San Francisco because they have 66 losses. Cincinnati and the Giants have 70. That's a lot with 20 games left in the season. Okay,
we know not to count on anything. You know you can't take anything for granted. We are in Chicago and have learned that lesson the hard way. But I want to ask you this and flip the question a little bit, a variation of it, the same kind of idea. Forget about who the Cubs might fear chasing them. I think when you look at some of the metrics, the Cubs have a good reason to feel confident about their postseason chances getting to October, which to me would represent a great season, Bruce, great season. But are the teams, how much do the teams in front of the Cubs fearing them if they get hot? If they go in and they get back on a roll here that maybe has been interrupted by this little two-game skid. But the Cubs have been as good statistically as any team in the National League since the All-Star break, and you wonder the Dodgers, the Braves, the teams that you assume are going to be dangerous and go deep in October, do they have fear of the Cubs?
I think they do in a way because what you identified, David, is Atlanta's been a great team all year, the best team in baseball. The Dodgers have been the best team in baseball since the All-Star break. Most people think they're clearly the best teams in baseball. Baltimore is an outstanding team. So is Tampa. But when it comes to looking at the Cubs, what you do fear, and we learned this with Philadelphia winning the pennant last year, being the sixth seed, with a hardly over 500 record, is it's the hot team, not the best team, okay? Not the best team all year, but the hot team going into the playoffs. The Cubs have been that since the All-Star game. They've been one of the best teams in baseball. They continue to be that way. Now, what to keep your eye on? If that bullpen is straightened out and Alzolay's back to health and Leiter gets enough off days now with the possibility of Fulmer coming back and Boxberger being activated. Those innings in the bullpen get spread out so nobody is overtaxed. This is a scary team. The Chicago Cubs are a scary team to play right now. They can be that hot team going into the playoffs. Miami can be that hot team going into the playoffs. Arizona can be. So people like Atlanta, like Los Angeles, the Milwaukee Brewers, they're watching these teams, and yes, they have a great respect for these teams because they know the hot team can win.
The good news is the Cubs on their schedule still have six games against the Rockies, and you like that. Three games against the Pirates, you don't mind that. The bad news, got to go into Arizona, you got to go into Milwaukee, and you got to go into Atlanta, and those are tough places to win in September. So this is fun, though, Bruce. This has been terrific this today to talk about what is at stake and to be in the midst of a pennant race. Relevance has returned to the North Side, and this has been tons of fun.
I hope you have someone else to argue with next Saturday that's equal to the curmudgeon that I am. But I'll be off for the Jewish holiday. I'll be rooting you on from a distance. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com. We have people to thank, David.
Yes, we do, and I'm just going to talk to myself for 2 hours next Saturday morning and make a lot more sense. We're going to thank our guests today. We had great guests, Julian Merriweather, the Cubs relief pitcher, Sean Dunstan, the Sean-O-Meter, and Sean Sears, our producer. This has been a lot of fun, Bruce. Thank you for setting all of it up and doing such a great job.
David, always a pleasure. Enjoy Gabe Ramirez next until the pregame with our good friend Zach Zaidman at 12:45. Have a great
pregame right here on the Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. Thank you for listening. Talk to you Monday, Bears Monday, here on the Score beginning 5:30 with Mullen Haw. Before that, the Swirsk overnights till 5. Have a great weekend, everybody.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.